Marcus Agrippa. Marcus Agrippa from 21 BCE to 19 BCE. The birth of his first son, the work on the great map, and a little trouble in Gaul. Now Agrippa is now in charge of the city of Rome, and he quickly applied his mind to dealing with the matters of law and order that Augustus had either failed or refused to deal with. His first priority was reclaiming the streets from rioters. In this, he was entirely successful. When another bitter dispute broke out, this time over the election of a junior prefect who represented the consuls during the Latin festival held in the Alban Hills in January, he was unable to resolve the matter by normal means. Exasperated, he took the extreme measure of simply suspending the office for the entire year. In a similar vein, even suspicious of the corrosive influence of Eastern mystic cults on public morale, Agrippa banned the practice of Egyptian rites from being performed within a mile of the city, just as he had done with astrologers and other charlatans back in 34 BCE. But by late spring, 20 BCE, his wife Julia was heavy with child. Between August the 14th and 23rd of September, she finally gave birth to a baby boy. On the seventh day after the boy's birth, a lustration ceremony was held, and Agrippa formally recognized him as his son. His name was Caius Vipsanius Agrippa. He probably chose the praenom Caius in honor of his best friend. Young Caius was Augustus' first grandson, and it must be with great joy that he received the news delivered by an official courier at his residence in Syria. At Augustus or Agrippa's own instigation, the Senate decreed that a sacrifice and prayers were to be held annually in honor of the boy on his birthday, and to be paid for with public funds. After that year, a new monument was unveiled in the Forum Romanum between the rostra and the Temple of Saturn, called the Golden Milestone. It was a column of gilded bronze which listed all the major cities and their distances from Rome. Romans regarded it as the starting point from which all main roads fanned out. While Augustus had been appointed superintendent of the road system of Rome and had been appointed superintendent of the road system of Rome and his environs in 20 BCE, he was not actually in the city, and it may have been Agrippa who inaugurated the marker. It was likely by this time he had been commissioned by Augustus to prepare a map of the known world, known as the Orbis Terrarium. Now, Agrippa was one of the most traveled men of his age, and that uniquely qualified him to make critical observations on reports of diverse terrains, peoples, cities of the Roman world, and distances between them. As a military man, he would, like other commanders, have had access to maps and itineraries, which he used on campaign and annotated, creating new ones of his own as new information became available. A project to compile and present a unified map had been commissioned when Julius Caesar and Mark Antony were consuls in 44 BCE. Four Greeks had been assigned to carry out the work, and 20 years later it was yet to be completed. Ultimately, it was finished in 7 BCE because Strabo saw the finished representation. However, a later historian, Pliny the Elder, who had seen it 50 years after that, complained about the fact that it had a lot of errors in it. So we really don't have any idea what it was, whether it was a globe, whether it was a map. It's never been found. Then we get to the Gauls. In 19 BCE, reports arrived that the Gallic provinces were in trouble. The Gauli were restless, perhaps even in open revolt. The historian, our good friend Dio, says they were quarreling amongst themselves without specifying who, and the situation was made worse by raids by Germanic war bands from the Rhineland. The legate in the region evidently could not contain the unrest himself with the forces at his disposal, and perhaps fearing it might spread, must have written to Rome for help. Agrippa felt obliged to go there in person to deal with it. He had his own imperium and was acting in his usual hands-on style to deal with a crisis. The details of Agrippa's movements in the region are frustratingly sparse. Speed was of the essence. On the outbound journey, he may have taken the Alpine road via Cotia Parapum. Before he made it into the road, Hannibal Barca had marched his army and his elephants along this route, a journey that took 15 days. Julius Caesar, considering this the shortest route, took it just 6 days to reach the Rhone from the Italian foothills. It crossed through the Roman protectorate of Alpine Cotia. The territory was a client kingdom named after Julius Cotius, a Ligurian noble and the son of King Donus. Indeed, Agrippa does appear to have to be known by the royal family. Claudius had found a peaceful and profitable reason to coexist with his Roman neighbors by constructing a highway over the Alpine Pass at Mount Genevieve. Traffic from Augusta Tarentina, which is Turin, could take the road heading northwest to Clodius's capital at Susa, Segusio. The Rome terminated at Saint-Remy de Provence, whence traffic could head south to Arles on the Via Domitia, which took them to the Iberian Peninsula, or north to Orange and directly to Lugudunum. After a long journey, Agrippa reached the leading city of the region to assess the situation. Was Aquitania up in arms again? Dio cryptically states only that he put a stop to the troubles, and we are left to guess whether he achieved it by military force or by diplomacy. It may have been a sufficient deterrent for the Gallic insurgents to suspend hostility, just knowing that Augustus' own deputy, who had crushed dissidents there before, was on his way. The fact is all the more remarkable because Agrippa had not participated in battle since his campaigns against the forces of Antony and Cleopatra in 31 BCE. Dealing with the external threats required a different approach. The Rhine River was not an impermeable barrier, and Germanic brigands were free to cross at will. Neither was there a Roman standing army on the left bank to intercept them when they raided. Just as he had done 20 years before, Agrippa traveled to the Rhine to critically assess the situation for himself. He found the Ubae once again under direct attack at their rear from the Suebi, a broad coalition of war bands which was moving ever southwards and encroaching aggressively on the territory of their neighbors. It seems the Ubae sent a deputation calling on their Roman allies to provide them sanctuary. In response, Agrippa made an extraordinary decision. By their own consent, Strabo writes, they were transferred by Agrippa to the countries of this side of the Rhine. They founded a settlement called Oppidum Urbanum, and the precursor of modern Cologne. The agreement came with conditions, however. Tacitus mentions that the Ubae were relocated specifically so that they could assist the Romans in guarding that section of the river. The archaeological evidence suggests that a Roman army was based there at different times over several years, but that successive military encampments were probably sited some distance away from the civilian settlement. It may also have been at this time that work began on an urban settlement for the Treveri nation, whose territory extended between the Rhine and the Maas River. During Julius Caesar's Gallic War, Labienus had defeated and killed their leader, Eutodemarcus, and broken the Treverian resistance. Expelled from their strongholds, such as the hill fort at Hunnering or the Circle of the Huns, located in Otzenhausen, St. Wendel, in the Rhineland Palatinate, this crushed nation had largely been left to its own devices. A new town was established, probably initially called Oppidum Trevorum, on the banks of the Moselle River, where the modern Tyr now stands. In combination with the Ubae, 118 miles to the north, Agrippa had established a nominal buffer zone between the people across the Rhine and the Gauls to the south, where local allies, rather than Roman troops, provided the means to defend their home turf from incursions by invaders from the north. His act of diplomacy and diplomatic generosity was an absolute win-win for all parties. You know, one thing about Agrippa, he seizes a problem and fixes it fast, or makes the attempt to fix it fast by whatever is appropriate. Now, the sources for this, The Lives of the Caesars by Suetonius, The Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, of course, the Histories by Dio, 12 Caesars by Grant, Marcus Agrippa, the right-hand man of Caesar Augustus, by Powell. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.